I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello, everybody, and you are very welcome to the Young Stock Podcast, the podcast by young journalists for young readers and listeners from the Irish Farmers Journal and supported, of course, by MOCRA. After a few cold nights, the weather has got a little bit milder and the current largely dry spell is giving farmers an opportunity to get some slurry out, lower the tanks and take a little bit of pressure off just before the main stint of spring calving kicks off. If you're a young farmer, a young person in rural Ireland, working in agriculture or want to hear more about rural life, then this is the place for you. To get in touch with your opinions and feedback on the podcast, you can email youngstock@farmersjournal.ie or leave a WhatsApp voice note at 086-836-6465. Keeping things topical, this week I spoke with Owen Keane from High Spec Engineering, and I managed to get in the quickfire round, but before all that, here's a quick word from our sponsor.
Looking for somewhere to talk about all things farming? Then make sure to join MOCRA na Fairma. Our Ag Affairs Committee are always on top of the latest farming issues and want to hear what you have to say. But we're all about having the crack too, which is why we have plenty of events and competitions happening all the time. So what are you waiting for? Sign up to MOCRA today and make sure to add the promo code PODCAST so you will be entered into a draw to win two tickets to a concert of your choice in the Three Arena. Sign up via our website, mocra.ie.
I'm joined now with Owen Keane. So Owen is from County Laois and he is the sales manager for High Spec Engineering, who are the well-known Carrow-based machinery manufacturer, I suppose probably best known for its slurry equipment. So Owen, you're very welcome. And maybe just to set the scene, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and where you grew up?
Good morning, Peter. So my name is Owen Keane and I am a sales manager for High Spec Engineering. So a little bit about myself. Originally was in the kind of construction and architecture business before High Spec. So my background really is not, you know, in farming. It was more got to do with construction and architecture. And I kind of maybe fell into this High Spec Engineering business a little bit after a kind of financial crisis in 2008 and 2009. So I live in Laois. I grew up in Laois. I kind of commute then down to Carlow, or really around to our dealer network around Ireland. For me, you know, living in Laois as well, it's pretty central to Ireland. And I'm obviously covering sales. And on a day-to-day basis, I could be in the office or really out on the road. So I have a good location there in the Midlands. And it ticks a lot of boxes.
Good stuff, Owen. And I suppose, Owen, when you said you didn't grow up on a farm, where did the interest for farming and machinery come from?
The interest came from, I had an uncle who actually lived in Galway in my lot, and he was a bachelor farmer, really, who I suppose, you know, who wasn't married or had no children. Myself and my brother then, you know, from time to time would help him when there was, you know, testing of cattle to be done, or kind of a little bit of spreading slurry or any kind of jobs when he just needed a little bit of extra hands. So I definitely have a lot of good memories from that farm, you know, and growing up. And I always kind of have an interest really in machinery anyway, you know, since my kind of construction background or architecture background, I'm always interested in how things are put together. But that primarily, you know, is a lot of good memories from there. And that has kind of always been, you know, positive experience for me, definitely got to do with farming.
Good stuff, Juan. And I suppose just to roll the clock back a few years, where did you go to college and what did you actually study?
Originally went to college in Cork in CIT and I studied architectural technology for 3 years. And this was obviously before the building boom. So at that time, you know, I was definitely interested in architecture from a young age, and going to college there, I completed kind of a diploma in architectural technology. And after that, I moved to Edinburgh to continue studying for an additional year in order to complete a degree. At that time, you had a job offer, you know, before you got on the plane to come back home. So as soon as I was finished college, I was actually straight into work in architecture. I suppose I worked for about five, six years in Portlaoise, doing a lot of kind of one-off housing, mixed developments with apartments, shopping centres, everything like that. That was well and good up until the financial crisis. And then maybe I had to diversify a little bit and, you know, ultimately ended up here in with High Spec.
Good stuff. And I suppose, Owen, your current role as sales manager, can you tell us a little bit about it and maybe what your day-to-day, what it entails?
My day-to-day would be primarily I would try to do maybe one, max 2 days in the office, where it's really just catching up on kind of emails where I leave a glut of emails to do that. I have a lot of desk work then on a particular day. And, you know, the other kind of 3 days, I'll try to get out on the road just to kind of chat to dealers, really see how their orders are looking, see what, you know, their opinions are on things, get a lot of feedback then from the machinery. So if we have a new machine out working, I'll tend to try and go to that and get some good photos or some good feedback, see the, you know, positives or any negatives of the, you know, the machines working. So you're kind of talking directly then to the farmers once they have made the purchase, and they're going to tell you what's good, you know, or what's bad about it. And you kind of bring that feedback back to the office. But I suppose I'm responsible for probably just approximately, you know, 30 dealers in Ireland and really kind of keeping sales, you know, at a good level, you know, throughout those dealers. So look, they want to see you to make sure you're still there and you're not kind of forgotten about, and, you know, help to push sales forward as well at the same time for them and for High Spec.
Yeah, I can imagine, Owen. And I suppose, look, as you said, you're on the road there quite often. You're meeting farmers, contractors. You know, what trends do you see in machinery sales at the minute? Are farmers and contractors going for bigger kit, or is it a more of a focus on technology, or what do you see happening on the ground?
Definitely at the minute, it's more on kind of bigger kit, realistically. We do get kind of inquiries really on the technology side of things with you know, flow meters and analyzers, NIR analyzers. But I suppose, you know, that definitely the day-to-day sales and the inquiries would be on larger kit. And then particularly with the applicators on the rear, they're starting to get larger and larger very quickly. So our standard dribble bar at the minute is 7.5, but we would have orders for 9 and 10.5. Well, I know there's other brands doing that, but for High Spec, that, you know, are starting to do these dribble bars, you know, the sizes are going up very, very quick, and we kind of have to keep pace with that. So definitely, I would say more towards larger kit and got to do with maybe larger volume of slurry as well to be moved, rather than the technology side of things at the minute.
Yeah, of course. And the whole slurry game is changing fairly rapidly in the last few years. But Owen, you mentioned the applicators there. I see High Spec have recently unveiled some new machines in terms of that. Can you maybe briefly walk us through some of your new machines?
We're doing our own trailing shoe, you see, really for, I suppose, a number of years now. And we were kind of fitting dribble bars from other manufacturers. And this was good in the factory for us because we have a certain amount of capacity. And we were able to manufacture the tankers and have the dribble bars there waiting, you know, just to be kind of put on the rear of the tanker. But we're kind of looking to maybe bring more control of our products in-house as well. So we have designed our own chassis mounted dribble bar. So this 7.5, you know, 9 and 10 meter dribble bar, we as a manufacturer are making the tankers to suit these. So all the weight is actually going back to the tanker, which is fully supported. And it just means that, you know, we have more in-house control. So if a farmer wants to order a tanker or an applicator, he can get the full thing from High Spec Engineering. You know, to add to that, we're also doing our own macerator as well. So we're not reliant on any other, I suppose, any other brand or, you know, audio component. We're also manufacturing the macerator ourselves in here in Carlow. We have a lot of kind of research done into that, and we actually have them out working quietly for the last kind of 2 years, and we're very confident now that we're actually fitting it standard on our own dribble bars and trailing shoes. So though I suppose the macerator would be a new product, and definitely with the chassis mounted dribble bars, it's leading to kind of very positive sales. The dealers and the farmers, you know, they just want one manufacturer to touch base with it, and they can order everything really from us. And then in turn, we're not relying on anyone else to supply us with a component or a dribble bar. We're able to do everything in-house.
Yeah, exactly. Of course, you have more control then over the supply chain and stuff like that. Oh, and just in terms of the chassis mounted dribble bar, so we'll say, obviously, there would have been an awful lot of farmers availing of the TAMS grant aid for retrofitting the dribble bar onto the maybe the back door of that or onto your tanker. If we don't have brackets for the chassis mounted, how does that retrofit work, or can Highspec offer a solution there?
Yes, so we have a solution as well ourselves for a retrofit. So it's primarily just to deal with high spec tankers at the minute, where we're using the existing 600 mil rear door, and we have a dribble bar there that can be offered up to that rear door. So again, it's using our own macerator, and there's no welding involved for that retrofit option that just covers a 7.5 meter. But if you're looking maybe to retrofit on the 9 meter or a 10.5 chassis mounted dribble bar, you would essentially have to weld on brackets if the tanker didn't already have those. We can do the retrofit rear door ourselves as well, you know, and again, it's all manufactured in-house. But for the newer models, definitely for the newer tankers leaving the production line here, you know, they're all chassis mounted. Farmers just see the benefit in you know, supporting from the chassis rather than from the rear door.
Yeah, I can imagine, look, long term, it sounds good. And Owen, not to put you on the spot, like, but roughly speaking, at 7.5 meter dribble bar, you know, what are we kind of talking, roughly speaking?
Well, like, you could be up in 7.5, but you could be up to maybe 15, including VAT or something like that. Something, you know, kind of that figure. Definitely.
Perfect. The current market, Owen, how healthy is it? And maybe what do you see for the next 12 months?
Things are very healthy at the minute as regards kind of, I suppose, the lead times. And I suppose I was at two shows already this year. I went to LAMA in the UK, and that was extremely positive as well, you know, for this year, because last May we were also there. And look, turnout was quite poor last May. And I suppose everyone was a little bit, it was a bad time of year, first of all. And people were thinking that it would be very pessimistic for LAMA at the start of this year. But the outlook was very good, and it was actually very busy on the stand. So at the minute, things are still positive. Definitely, where normally in January, there might just be a little bit of a lull in sales as lads, they're receiving their slurry tankers, and, you know, they're kind of getting to work. But there's still orders coming in, and definitely no complaints really at the minute. It's good, I suppose, until summertime, and some of the bigger machinery, you know, has a long lead time already covered for this year. So availability is difficult on the larger machines. But at the minute, things quite positive. Don't see any kind of lull in sales or anything. Things are moving along fairly okay.
Good stuff. And just as you mentioned there, I suppose in terms of maybe your current order book, you might give us maybe a few insights, like, you know, lead times, like, I'm sure varies depending on the spec and the size of a tanker that maybe you're talking about. But I suppose, roughly speaking, could you give us an insight into that?
So anything really with large capacity or a tandem axle, you know, upwards. So anything really, I suppose, above 3,000 gallons, we currently have a lead time of 1 year. So, you know, that's, we would have, I suppose, a big dealer network in the UK, where a lot of our large UK dealers will stock tandem tanks. You know, they essentially would wholesale them and just place orders for them, where they could bulk buy 5, maybe, you know, 10 tandem tankers and spread them out through their depot. So availability on those is quite difficult. Now, while I'll still sell them away, I'm trying to kind of, you know, really confirm specs in order to kind of give a realistic delivery time on those. But that's the way the market is kind of going towards this larger tanker, really, definitely with tandem axle. Even we've done triple axles, where volume is the number one concern. But on the standard, I suppose, 2.6 single axles, it's currently about 30 weeks. So, you know, just a little over 6 months, which it's definitely better than what it was previously. We ran out close to maybe 50 weeks on some of those, and even a little bit longer. So while it's at 30 weeks, it seems to be holding at that for the future anyway, a little bit, and until we get to the summer and find out what way things are then. So yeah, definitely the grant and the fact we're doing the chassis mounted dribble bar, we'd say orders will still be steady for this year.
Good stuff. Yeah, just what you mentioned there, the TAMS, is TAMS still continuing to drive, I suppose, slurry equipment sales in Ireland, Owen?
Yes, it definitely is. It definitely is. We know the majority of tankers here really in Ireland, I would say not 100%, but very close to 100%, are now getting a trailing shoe or a dribble bar fitted on the back of them. And there might be a small few that we're not essentially fitting in Ireland or in the factory here, but the tankers are kind of leaving with the brackets on, and you know they're getting an applicator then after that. So definitely with TAMS grant, the tankers, they're all, you could say pretty much 100% of them are being fitted with a low emission applicator on the rear. And that's kind of just where we're hoping to pick up those extra sales by offering the dribble bar ourselves and, you know, sticking our name onto it, you know, because this usually sometimes when there's a problem before, it's a high spec sticker on the side of the tank, and that's who gets the phone calls, whoever has the biggest sticker really on it. So look, by doing our own dribble bar, yeah, we're definitely picking up a lot of sales with that.
I can well imagine. And Owen, high spec, I suppose, being an international manufacturer exporting, you know, across Europe and New Zealand and stuff like that, is the demand for the applicators the same in these other countries, or what are you seeing there?
We would do a lot of slurry tankers really to New Zealand. So while the applicators, I suppose the thirst for the applicators out there, it's definitely not the same. The market would be different, and that capacity is a serious issue in New Zealand. So often out there, it's, you know, the bigger the better, and they're not really concerned about the applicators at the minute. So I suppose we have a good dealer set up in New Zealand, and I visit there annually for 2 weeks. The volume or the size is the number one concern, rather than, I suppose, the applicators themselves. Now, while we do machines to Europe, we tend not to do too many slurry tankers. We would do diet feeders and other equipment, because I suppose there are a lot of manufacturers of slurry tankers and that in Europe at a very large scale. So well, we have definitely a good market in New Zealand. It's more of a volume query, you know, to try and get 6,000 gallons, 6,500 gallons, that size tanker, rather than an applicator on the rear.
Yeah, big tankers. And I suppose, Owen, then just to roll it back a bit, component shortages, there's a lot of mixed feeling out there about, you know, it's easing up. Some people say it's not easing up, depending on what they're after. Yes. What are you seeing in terms of high spec, in terms of component shortages? You know, is it as much of an issue as it was maybe a year and a half ago?
It's not as much of an issue for us realistically now as regards components. While definitely we try to keep the components the same, you know, and use a lot of the, I suppose, a high specification as standard for us. The prices are kind of still going up on these components, you know, with PTOs and gearboxes and everything like that. So the prices are still kind of rising on those components. We're trying not to be putting up our prices to reflect that. But I suppose we don't really have a shortage, you know, anything that we want, we kind of have at the minute. And there's obviously other, you know, suppliers looking to get in as well at the same time for business. But I suppose availability is okay, but pricing of some of them, it's just going up and up. And sometimes you might need to review it or see what else is out there at the same time.
Yeah, I can well imagine it's difficult to keep a handle on costs. And I suppose, Owen, your role means you might have more of an insight, obviously, than most people. But in your opinion, do you think that the price of new machinery is going to continue to rise, or maybe will it even come down in the near future?
I wouldn't envisage anything kind of coming down in the near future. We definitely have, you know, a good order book and things like that. And I know costs have kind of risen over the last few years, but I would say that things are probably going to steady out or maybe level out definitely for this year. And I really don't see any kind of a reduction or anything like that on it. You know, we're trying to kind of offer a good product, and by maybe controlling the dribble bars or selling the dribble bars ourselves, we're able to, you know, maybe reflect that in the price, because there's essentially a reduction in cost if we were able to manufacture the dribble bars ourselves as opposed to buying it from somebody else. So while the cost of the machinery, I don't think will come down, we're looking to maybe review our costs a little bit more by manufacturing more in-house here, you know, rather than paying someone else for an applicator. Those kind of things, I would say, would steady out, but I don't see anything really coming down in the near future, to be honest.
Right. Well, look, if things stabilize, for it would be a start. Anyways, if I was buying a new slurry tanker today, let's say I have dairy farm milking maybe 100 to 150 cows, and I want to avail of the TAMS, you know, what would you tell me is a nice size and maybe some essential spec on that tanker and why?
Yeah, well, our biggest seller would probably be our 2.6 SAR, which is a single axle recess, 2,600 gallons. And that would, you know, make up the majority of our sales really on the single axle. So if you're purchasing a tanker, that size would probably be the most common. And with that size, you know, we would do a lot of things standard in that to try and build up a good specification. We would have kind of a straight commercial axle, so with the large brake shoes. And we're also kind of using Alliance tires as standard. So we're using, you know, a 181 rated tire from Alliance, which is a very good reputation. And, you know, overall, a very, very solid tire. On it, it's able to, you know, support 8.25 ton at 40k per tire. So, you know, you're looking at a high quality tire there. We're also using a Durop pump, 11,000 liters, and we're using Durop pumps, I suppose, in excess of 20 years. And we're the only manufacturer in the Republic of Ireland that's allowed to use those pumps. That's our kind of agreement with those. So that's a kind of a unique pump to high spec. With the tankers, lots of people, I suppose, are getting the sight tube on the front, which, you know, gives a good indication of the tanker as it's filling. And definitely as it's spreading, it can be difficult to see slurry exiting, you know, through a treading shoe or through a dribble bar. So the side tube at the front would probably be essential. After that, with our kind of chassis mounted dribble bars and shoes, we're incorporating, you know, stone traps and everything into those. So on the dribble bars or the shoes, we're able to collect stones as well. So it's not always necessary to have one on the tanker. But I suppose really, you know, if it was just a side tube and just the applicator on the rear, you know, most of the rest of the specification is good enough from high spec, other than, you know, plenty of lights, really. There's not a whole lot else that the lads tend to get.
And Owen, in terms of galvanizing a new tanker, how much does it cost and is it worth the investment?
In terms of cost, it's difficult to give a cost even on that. It could definitely easily be over €2 per gallon, you know, plus VAT. It's difficult to actually give a quoted price on that, because obviously the galvanize, it uses a lot of energy, you know, to produce the bat as well, and to keep the bat at a certain temperature. And as energy costs are rising, it's difficult to, you know, to give a fixed price on that. As regards being worth it or not, I'm really, unless somebody is on the coast, you know, or maybe can see the coast from their farm, I don't really recommend it. Everybody now is kind of doing a good paint job where the seal is usually shot blasted before the paint is applied. And, you know, we have painted tanks out in excess of 20 years and they're still going on it, you know. So I don't really recommend the galvanize. I'd rather the farmer would, you know, spend the money maybe on something else, as opposed to having, you know, a story that a galvanize will make or break the tank. It often doesn't. We've painted tanks out in excess of 20 years. So really, unless you're on the coast, I don't really recommend it.
Yeah, it's a big change from a few years ago. And I think the last time that we bought a slurry tanker here, maybe 5-6 years ago, I think it was maybe 90 cent a gallon plus VAT, roughly speaking. Like, so look, obviously with energy costs, that has increased dramatically. But Owen, I suppose, look, at you're looking at machinery every day of the week. What's the biggest development in machinery out there at the minute, not just in slurry but across the board, I suppose, that excites you or that has caught your eye?
From the high spec point of view, is definitely on the dribble bars, you know, and the low emission spreaders. I'm very, I suppose, with my architectural background, I try to get involved in a lot of the design of the machines here as well, because I'm out there and I'm seeing them working. You're trying to, you know, take that feedback back to the factory, because ultimately, if there's a problem, you know, it's my phone number that will be rang. So I'm trying to eliminate all of those issues at base. So for me, I definitely am kind of excited on the dribble bar end of things. It's going quite well. And I've done a lot of kind of design on the trailing shoe, and we have those out working as well for the last number of years, and they fold up very, very well behind the tanker. But I suppose for this year, I'm definitely excited to get the dribble bar out. But we're also kind of doing a push dumper trailer, so we're looking at doing a dumper trailer as well that doesn't tip, that will basically push out the load. So again, there's a bit of excitement there from that as well, as we kind of run that off the production line to get that out working. So we have a number of, I suppose, projects like that always on the go, and we're always looking to expand the product line, you know, away from slurry tankers and build up the rest of equipment. So that, with the low emission spreaders and this dump trailer that we're currently looking at, I think for this year, I definitely have enough. But when you go to, I suppose, other shows like Agritechnica or even Lama, and you see not direct competitors, but you might see self-propelled slurry tankers. And, you know, while they're exciting to look at, you know, they may not necessarily suit Ireland or somewhere else. And I can tend to get excited on, you know, what we can sell or what we could make and what we can kind of, you know, push out to the Irish farmers more so than the stuff I would see abroad, because I see tankers abroad that you couldn't even bring them into Ireland, you know, realistically.
Yeah, that's for sure. The big massive tankers is right. And Owen, just one last point there, I suppose, you know, it's slurry season, tankers and umbilical systems are going up and down the road, easing the pressure off farmers. In terms, you mentioned there earlier on flow meters, NIR, can you explain what NIR is, and is there any appetite, or have you fitted any NIR systems, or have you worked with any systems like that?
No, well, we haven't actually fitted any NIR analyzers to slurry tankers. We have fitted analyzers, you know, to essentially diet feeders and mixer wagons. And we would get requests, really, you know, particularly we have a few from New Zealand, I suppose, which is kind of larger farms where they're looking to analyze the slurry. But we haven't actually fitted these units yet. There's still a high cost involved, obviously, with these analyzers, you know, to analyze the slurry as it's exiting the tankers, or, you know, in a diet feeder, they're analyzing the feed as it's mixing as well. So you can get them with a lot of functions. You can stick them on the harvester as well. While it's a good technology, I suppose the price is a little prohibitive at the minute, and hopefully in time, you know, as more kind of people enter that market, that the costs would come down. While analyzers, you know, they may be the way of the future. I definitely think it will take a number of years before we would essentially fit one of them into Ireland. You know, it takes a customer who's willing to kind of take a little bit of the teething problems, knowing that he would be the first in Ireland or even, you know, the UK or wherever to have this kit. And there's always going to be a few issues with the first bit of it. So we haven't fitted any yet, but it's very easy to fit them. It's just the cost at the minute is one of the major factors for the NIR analyzers.
Yeah, the cost is crazy, Owen. And Owen, and outside of work with Highspec, I suppose, what's the hobbies? What's the interest?
Hobbies and interests, I suppose, anything really outdoors. I'm still very fond of doing. I obviously like doing architecture as well, so I always have an interest in buildings, or maybe, you know, just drawing a couple of plans and things like that as well. Definitely excites me as well. But I suppose anything really outdoors, I tend to travel a lot with work as well, and not so excited for that. Lots of the places I go, I'm kind of going to work, and you don't really see too much of it, and there's never that opportunity to kind of wind down. So I kind of just like my weekends to maybe take a Saturday or a Sunday and just go somewhere with the dogs or that, and just, you know, spend a bit of time, just really downtime like that. So I suppose, yeah, the kind of interest, I suppose, watching some architecture programs that I shouldn't. And mainly along those kind of lines, I would say.
Ah, good stuff, Owen. Owen, you're a very busy man, so I'm not going to hold you. So I'm going to hit you now with a quick fire round. Sprung or fork?
Sprung.
Lions or berries?
I'll have to say berries. I went to college in Cork, so I'll have to say berries.
Breakfast roll or chicken roll?
Every day it's a chicken roll nearly, but I a breakfast roll is like a special day for me, so I would say breakfast roll on that one.
Speciality. Bales or pit?
Definitely bales. Going back to my uncle's farm as well, we used to get us to line up the bales, you know, outside of the sheds. And when you're a young lad, I suppose, driving a tractor and moving bales, it was a big highlight. So I would say bales for me.
Good stuff. Ragworth or Buchanan?
Buchanan.
Dunlop or Burkina?
Dunlop. I've had a few pairs of Dunlop.
Good stuff. Starter or dessert?
For me, it has to be starter. I eat too much dessert, so I starters definitely.
Plough or mintil?
Plough.
Good stuff. And the final one then, would you rather pick stones or foot turf?
It's always turf, because at least I'd say to myself, I might get something at the end of this, a bit of heat or something, you know, with the stones. So foot turf.
Good stuff, Owen. Well, listen, when I'm going at the turf here in the summer, I'll give you a shout. Listen, Owen, thanks very much for that. Some great insights there, and I wish you all the best with the job.
Thanks very much.
That was great to get so many valuable insights there from Owen. Well, that's it for this week's Young Stock Podcast, folks. Don't forget to get in touch with your opinions and feedback on the podcast. You can email youngstock@farmersjournal.ie or leave me a WhatsApp voice note at 086-836-6465. Declan Martin will be with you next Monday, and he will be chatting to Duncan Morrison, a Scottish beef farmer, and I tell you folks, that is one not to be missed. Anyways, thanks again to Mocker for their support, and of course, thanks very much for you for listening. All the best.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.